Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Lord God. We thank you, Holy God, for you are here among us. We thank you for your holy presence. We thank you that your promises are true, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And even when we're worried and we're scared and we're unsure, Lord God, we can still hold on to your unchanging hands. And so we thank you. We bless your holy name. Speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. We're listening to hear a word from you, a word of hope. Lord God, a word that strengthens, a word of encouragement. Speak, Lord God. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Submit me to your will, Lord God. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And as I begin, a couple of things I want to those who are online who may not, cannot see that. We know we have been praying for Marilyn and Gil. We know that Gil is a little setback, but Marilyn is here. So for those of you online, we're glad that Marilyn, I've been on the back and forth with Marilyn. We have been lots of talking, but Marilyn came in today, and we thank God, Marilyn. Everybody missed you at that seat, all right? So we're glad to see you, and we continue to pray for Gil. We know that he's doing better, And we will just continue to pray for him. But glad you're back, Marilyn. Right? Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. And for those who just came in after the beginning announcements, please check the attachments on the email that was sent out to you. There are things on stewardship for the children and for grown-ups. Please check the email attachments that were sent to you. I know you're coming to service, so you may not have printed it out, but please print it and read the material. It will edify your soul. And so now as we go into the word of the Lord, I will let you know, Sky, when we are, I'll ask you to move up, right? Amen? Let me begin with a story, as always. Canceled wedding inspires feast for the needy, says. My sermon title is, You Are Invited. You are invited today. And the story says, an El Dorado Hills, California family overcame their own emotional turmoil to turn a canceled wedding into a special event for approximately 100 less fortunate people. David Duane said, his 27-year-old daughter, Quinn, announced October 12th that the groom had called off the wedding 5 days before the event. The reception venue, the Citizen Hotel in downtown Sacramento, had been booked months in advance. Duane said he and his wife knew they could not expect a refund at such a late date. We said, hey, do we just not do anything, or do we go down and do something? Good question, isn't it? His wife, Carrie, came up with the idea of hosting people who were homeless or in need of what was intended to have been the wedding dinner. She contacted Next Move and program director Letitia Daniels. The organization's mission is to provide shelter and other services to help people transition out of homelessness. Daniels took charge, inviting individuals and families and providing bus passes so they could get to dinner, David Duane said. Duane and his wife were on hand at 5 p.m. to welcome people to the buffet dinner that would otherwise have been served to wedding guests. It was a fabulous night, a great evening, Duane said. He talked to a number of guests and listened to stories of the difficulties they had faced. They have faced. Wedding costs, including the honeymoon, he said, totaled more than $30,000. As a family, Duane said, we took away something good from this. They turned that bad situation into something wonderful by feeding the homeless. Yes, my sermon title is You're Invited. We're all invited to this table. To this table. Next slide, Sky. You're invited. My focus points on you are invited today. My focus points are, am I invited? Or am I okay? Am I justified? Declared or made righteous in the sight of God. That's what justified means. Am I declared or made righteous in the sight of God? Am I invited? Are you invited? Are we okay with God? Second point is, but if God has invited people to the wedding banquet, haven't we already earned our spot in the kingdom of heaven? Question for us to ponder, isn't it? But if God has invited people to the wedding banquet, haven't we already earned our spot in the kingdom of heaven? Next slide. Number three. So the question is, why would people reject the invitation? Why would they reject God's invitation? And number four, why would they give up salvation? Number five, the answer lies in our responses. We either reject God and God's message of mercy and salvation, or we accept the free gift of salvation. Amen? We either reject it or we accept it. So those would be my focus point today on this text. This parable comes across as a difficult text about judgment. Yet, it has some important and useful aspects that commend itself to preaching. It does. You know, one sees pieces of it and one wonders. You see, Jesus was a great storyteller, and Jesus told parables to give us message. And I know this can be preached in many ways, but today I want to take up the point of belonging, being invited and belonging. We all want to belong, don't we? We all want to know that we belong to someone or something, that we belong, that there's something, that someone cares about us, that someone loves us. Amen? So here now we look at this story as I summarize it. First, we have the king's gracious invitation. What happens? It says, now imagine a king. The king has prepared a party. And not just any party, but a wedding banquet. And he has prepared it for his own son. That is what Jesus says the kingdom of God is like. God prepares a wedding banquet. And here it is, he invites all those who are part that he knows, friends and families that he knows should be part of the group to this wedding banquet. We call the communion table the great wedding banquet, you see. And that's why we say the table is open. All are invited. That's why our liturgy says that, right? The communion table is a great wedding banquet here on earth, and it will be the great wedding banquet table here in heaven. We all are invited. This is an imagery of what Jesus is painting in this parable. So this is a grand gala. Who would ever dream that God's kingdom would be a party, a gala, to end of all galas, so excited, everything is set. All our theologies and doctrines come down to one meaning. God has made possible our being with him through the cross. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, God has made it possible for all of us to be with him. So remember the cost of the spread before you on the table. When we come to the communion table, we must remember the spread, the cost of that table. The cost of that communion table is Jesus' life. Our King spared no expense. He offers us his very finest when we come to share in communion. That's the banquet table. But here's what happened. The guests had some lame excuses. This little story, it vibrates with expectancy and hope until we read, but they would not come. Can you imagine being invited to this great table and you won't come? The King, first of all, is incredulous. He can't believe it that they won't come. He's sure there must be some mistake. So he graciously sends other servants saying, tell those who are invited, behold, I have made ready my dinner. There's everything. There's oxen and meat. Please come. The Lord continually begs us, asks us through Jesus Christ to please come. Accept him. Everything is ready. But the invited guests make light of the invitation. They make light of it. They don't take it serious. Now, friends, to put it to modern context, there are folks who are making it light that the fact that Jesus Christ died for us and calls us to come. Come into right relationship with him. They make it light. They take it as nothing. Secondary. It's way down on the list. Luke records their excuses. Luke, the same story is in Luke, and he records their excuses. One who is concerned with real estate has just purchased a field and must inspect it. In Luke, one says, I can't come to the party, I can't come to the banquet because I've just purchased a field. Another, in the throes of a big energy deal, he has just purchased 5 teams of oxen. Another one says, I can't because I've purchased 5 teams of oxen. Still, another has gotten married and has certain unnamed responsibilities. So in essence, they're finding every excuse in the book not to come to the banquet table. They have been invited by the King, friends. But it's all the same. The King has been stood up. Over and over again, people stand up Christ. And adding insult to injury, injury to insult, others of these would-be guests, they kill the King's messengers. Now some say that that is an imagery of what happened to the prophets, a symbol of what happens to the prophets, that they came with the messages and they were killed. The King is furious, and the fate of these people in the parable reflects, when the King is so angry, what happens to them? They have to pay the price. But Scripture says to us, here's the good news. Many more are called. Many more are called. So what did the King do? The King did not run away, got so mad that he couldn't deal. He sent his servants out, friends, and he invited everyone else. The poor, the sick, the prostitute, the beggar, the hungry. That's the open table. You understand, friends? He invited us because he did not first come for us. Scripture would tell us that Jesus did not first come for us. The table, the banquet table was open for you and for me. He invited those who didn't have any status. Those who have nothing, those who nobody knows, those who are nameless. He says, go invite all of them. Anyone who would accept the invitation, including the lame and the blind and the hungry. And they were thrilled at the opportunity to come to the banquet. And in the next scene, we see waves of beggars and people of low lives, as we would say, coming into the banquet. We see blind folks coming into the banquet. We see weary folks, broken folks coming in, because the table has been opened for everyone. Thanks be to God, that is the table of Jesus Christ, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. The invitation has gone out to everyone, to the good and the bad. I know we don't like to hear that, but the table has gone out to the good and the bad. Everybody. Everyone to accept. And here we have this table in this time. But here's a shocker at the end. There's a guest there that did not have on a robe. There's a guest there that did not have on a wedding robe. And that surprises us that the story changes. It says that the king was upset. You see, here's what happens in those days. If you're invited to a banquet, let me give you a little stuff into this parable. If you're invited to a wedding and you have no clothes, everybody who comes, the king would then what? Dress you. Everybody had to be clothed in banquet clothes, clothed in the right clothes. So when this guest came in and was not clothed, that means they are not in relationship with the king. Or they rejected the clothes. Friends, here's what this tells us. We who are Christian believers, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have been clothed. Come on, folks who are studying Revelation with me. We have been clothed in what? Righteousness. Right? We have been clothed in righteousness. We have the mark of Christ on us. Once we accept him, not all are chosen. Once Christ opens up the banquet table and invites us to the table, and we accept him as Lord and Savior. I said to Helen yesterday, we were talking about that. I said, we may not be able to see the mark on us, but those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the mark of Christ on us. Amen? We are one of his. We have said yes to the banquet table. We have said, Lord, yes, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. We have put on Christ. Amen? Not only did we come to the table, but our own righteousness, because Scripture says our own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. So we have laid down our own righteousness, because our own righteousness is impure. And we have put on, it's an external token. The wedding garment is the imputed righteousness that comes to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. It has been imputed to us, given to us, because we have accepted Christ. Friends, so today as we see this text, you and I are invited. We are all invited. But have we put on the robe of Christ's righteousness? That's the question we need to leave with. Did we say yes to Christ? Have you or have we accepted the cross of Jesus Christ as the all-sufficient sacrifice for all his sins that he has ever committed? If you're never sure that you've done that, if you're not sure, today is the day you can be sure. To say, yes, Lord, yes to your will and your way. Yes, Lord, I surrender to your will. You see, let Christ drape you in his righteousness. Right? He wove that garment himself as he hung dying on the cross. He wove that garment for you and for me. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes us white as snow. I tell you, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So now this morning, friends, he offers us again his robe of righteousness, that you and I might wear it and become spotless and clean and holy and acceptable in his sight. He offers us every day, here I am. The invitation is extended. The invitation has no time limit. This invitation from Christ does not have a time limit except for the time we have to go home to be with him. As we read Revelation, we're not preaching on it this morning, but in our reading of Revelation, and when we read and we saw what will happen in the time of the tribulation, the great tribulation, we realize that being of Christ and following Christ is the only way. It's the only way. I said to Helen again and the group, we don't have to worry where we're going to end up, because we have put on Christ. We have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. So, as my fifth point asks, the answer lies in our response. It lies in your response and my response. We can either reject God, reject Christ and God's message of mercy and salvation, or we can accept him as Lord and Savior. Please, friends, tomorrow is promised to no one. This coronavirus pandemic has reminded me over and over again, in case we had forgotten, tomorrow is promised to no one. Today can be the last day that you or I have. But if we have put on Christ, if we have said yes to him, we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be concerned. And then the words of Philippians, as Paul said to the Philippian church, then we can say these words and believe, read these words and believe it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. Why? Because we have put on Christ. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ, no matter what we're going through, the peace of Christ would guard our hearts and our mind. That's our true hope. That's our true hope today, friends. Please, my brothers and sisters, you're invited. Put on Christ. Accept him. Love is freely given. Salvation is a free gift. Amen.